for the director of music, a psalm of David, a song. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Saviour. The hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, performing the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the deserts overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing. And this is Psalm 65, and I'll hand over to Dan, who will minister to us from God's Word. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, John. Hi, everybody. If you can keep that passage open, that'd be very helpful. When was the last time that you were lost for words? Literally, you could not speak. When was the last time that you were so overwhelmed by something that you just couldn't say anything? Maybe it was a happy occasion. Maybe you'd received a gift or someone had shown you an act of love and you were just so overwhelmed. John shared something about some of his birthday celebrations and how he was lost for words at some of the gifts he'd been given. Maybe you've been lost for words or you've been overwhelmed at a really sad time. Something that's happened that's been so terrible and so tragic that you couldn't articulate it. Your kind of mouth was opening, but nothing was coming out. When was the last time you were lost for words? Psalm 65 starts with a strange verse and a word that really the commentators don't really know how to translate it. In our Bible here, it's praise awaits you, O Lord, but it could be that praise is silence. Here's the idea. This is a psalm of David. Maybe the people of God have gone through a terrible experience. Remember, these are people who are working the land. They're agricultural people. And maybe they've seen a famine. And now they come to God. And this is a psalm about God's blessing. Everything that God has given to them. And they are literally lost for words. They come to the temple. And they remember what God has done. And they're silent. Now, of course, they're not silent for long. They're not silent because David has written this psalm. And this then is a psalm, a communal psalm for God's people. For the people of Israel. And it's a song. Now, we might not be able to sing in the congregation this morning. You've been able to sing at Zoom. But we can look at this song together. We can sing this psalm as David sung the psalm for the people of God. And this psalm is a song for Christians to say, Lord, we have bound ourselves to you. You have provided, and now we want to thank you, we want to praise you, we want to give you thanks for all the amazing things that you have done. The focus of the psalm is, look at verse 1, in Zion. The focus of the psalm is God's temple, the place in the Old Testament where God had promised his presence would be. Of course, God's presence is everywhere, but his special presence, where he's promised to be, is in the temple. So the psalm starts with a focus in the temple. That's where the psalm is. And as we move through the psalm, I just want to focus very briefly on three ways in which we see God's overwhelming presence, I suppose. The way that God overwhelms the people of God, and how he should overwhelm us this morning. As we remember, in some ways it's a very traditional harvest psalm, Psalm 65, especially when you get through to the last section with all these amazing illustrations of what the Lord has done to bless the land. But it's more than that. So let's see as we go through the psalm whether we are lost for words, whether we are overwhelmed in the same way. So firstly, first few verses, overwhelming access. Overwhelming access. Looking at verses 1 to 4. David recognizes, and the people of God recognize, that God is a God who answers prayer. Isn't that amazing? We can speak to God and he answers prayer. The God of the Bible, the God of Christians, is not a God who is mute or impersonal, but a God to whom we can come and who answers prayer. And here is the issue, verse 3. These people were overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed by sin. They were lost. They were beaten. Sin had entangled them and had triumphed over them. They were defeated. You who answer prayer to all people will come. When we were overwhelmed with sin, well, what does God do? Verse 3, second half. You forgave our transgressions. There's so much talk in our society at the moment of overcoming things. Are we going to be able to overcome the economic problems that we're facing? Are we going to be able to overcome the educational deficit that's happening to our children at the moment? And these are all things that we need to be thinking through and working on. But ultimately, I suppose, for lots of people, it's, are we going to overcome this virus? Are we going to find a cure? Are we going to be delivered from it? Are we going to go back to normality? We pray that that does happen. But there's one thing that no human can deal with. We cannot change guilty hearts. We cannot change the shame that we feel from turning against God. And so many people, they may overcome economically, they may overcome educationally, they may overcome in terms of their health, but so many thousands and millions of people do not know that one precious thing, the forgiveness of sins. As Christians, we know that forgiveness. We've been delivered. When we were overwhelmed with sins, you forgave our transgressions. That is something. We could stop there, couldn't we? There's no more to say. We've been forgiven our sins. We are not guilty. Now, what's interesting here is verse 4. Blessed are those you choose and bring near into your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. For David, the forgiveness of sins corporately was seen or kind of illustrated in the Old Testament sacrificial system. As we've said before in this church, when we've been looking at Old Testament passages and how the Old Testament works, and you think the whole point of all of those laws and regulations and sacrifices is that it's meant to be telling us how hard it is to enter into God's presence. The whole thing about the temple and who could go there and when is that it was restricted access. Now, the last 6 months, we see restricted access all over the place. Places that we can't go into. And that's what the Old Testament sacrificial system was about. It was saying, God is holy, the people are not, and we're going to have to go through this whole complex of rites and rituals and cleaning to illustrate how hard it is to enter God's presence. In fact, the high priest only one day a year can go into the Holy of Holies. And yet those people, kind of, they understood the forgiveness of sins, but it was a massive great system. But David says here, blessed are you, those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. So David himself had experienced in some way, even though he was not the high priest, he experiences something of what it means to know that his sins have been forgiven, that they have been atoned for. And yet we know, don't we? Because of Christ, we have even more of a liberation and an understanding of the access. Remember that when Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. It symbolized saying that there was restricted access to God, but now that access has become free. The book of Hebrews talks about it. Firstly, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's why if these Old Testament sacrifices and rituals didn't kind of point towards the death of Christ, it would just be one big bloody mess of things being killed. It would be the most awful pagan thing ever, but all of those things were pointing towards the blood of Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain that hid his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Who would have known that passage from Hebrews would have covered the importance of Christ's blood in the forgiveness of sins, but also the importance of us meeting together to celebrate that? David knew something of what the forgiveness of sins was like, but in a shadowy way. We understand it so much more in a real way. Blessed are those you choose. God chooses to bring people who have been washed by the blood of Christ into his presence to share all the good things of your house. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you have all those spiritual blessings. You've been forgiven of your sins. And however you're feeling today, the fact that we're sitting here and it seems surreal because I'm looking at people who are wearing masks and there's doom and gloom all around, we can dance out of here because we've been forgiven. Overwhelming access. We should be overwhelmed by that. We're overwhelmed by the overwhelming access that we have. You can come to God through Christ. He will answer your prayers. He will give you that access in Christ. So, overwhelming access. Second, overwhelming rule. If the first bit of the psalm is concentrating on the heart, I can't see your hearts. I can't see Kez's heart or Aris's heart. It's almost the first bit is a private thing about the forgiveness of sins. It's private. And it's focused on the temple at a very particular time in the ancient Near East. The second part of the psalm says, no, the reign of God, the rule of God, is not just local, but it's universal. And it takes your breath away. This is about overwhelming rule. We get hints at it throughout the psalm. Verse 2, you who answer prayer, to you all people will come. And now in verse 5, you answer us. Well, who are us? It's the people of God. You answer the people of God with awesome and righteous deeds. God our Saviour. The hope of who? Just the people of Israel? Just Christians? No. The hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Verse 8, the whole earth is filled with all your wonders. God's rule is overwhelming. It covers everything and everyone. It wasn't just for these particular people. Because we know as we read the biblical story that yes, Israel were the covenant people of God, and yet they were to be a blessing to the whole of the earth. We are here because of that blessing to Jews and to Gentiles. God's rule does not just extend to one part or one person or one people. It's overwhelming over everywhere. Overwhelming rule. And that means, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you're Donald Trump, or whether you're someone who anyone in the world, all come under the rule of God. And it takes your breath away. Sometimes you might think, well, maybe God spread himself too thin. Maybe God is spread over the whole world, but actually, like anything that you spread thinly, it kind of becomes very diluted. Well, that's not the case here. Look at his rule. Verse 6, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring seas, the roaring of the waves, and the turmoil of the nations. In the Old Testament, mountains stood for stability and power. I think we'd still say the same today, wouldn't we? Maybe that was the last time that you had your breath taken away. Maybe it was seeing something awesome in creation, like a mountain. But the psalmist David is saying, if you're amazed by that, those things were created by someone who has more power and more strength, the Lord God. It's a kind of argument that says, well, if this, how much more God? God is the one who is ultimately stable, the one who is ultimately powerful, because he created these mountains. And again, who stilled the roaring of the seas and the roaring of the waves. Again, in the ancient Near East, the chaos of the water stood for kind of chaos. Could it be tamed? Who can tame the waters? Perhaps that was the last time your breath was taken away. That sometimes happens, isn't it? When you've had a wave crash over you, when you've been on holiday in the sea, especially when it's been cold, it's taken your breath away. Well, how much more here? Chaos has been ordered. The roaring of the seas, God is the one who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and not only in the physical creation, but the turmoil of the nations as well. If the first part of the psalm focused on the access that we have to God and the forgiveness of sins, the second part here is about overwhelming rule. And again, that gives us such confidence that God is in control, that he is strong, that he is stable, that even though it seems like chaos all around us, ultimately God knows what he's doing. He has the victory because he's created everything. He guides everything. He superintends everything. Nothing happens that he doesn't know about. You can never surprise God. He knows everything that's happening to us. And that accounts for everyone in the universe. So overwhelming access, overwhelming rule, and then finally, very quickly, overwhelming provision. C.S. Lewis wrote a little book called Reflections on the Psalms, and he writes about this particular psalm, and he has a really nice phrase for this final section. And I said this final section is much more kind of known for being a psalm to do with harvest. And C.S. Lewis, commenting on these last verses, and some of you will appreciate this. Sabina, you'll appreciate this. And Heather, if you're watching, and any of you who are gardeners, this is what C.S. Lewis says. He says that the language of this last part of the psalm, you care for the land and water it, you enrich it abundantly, the streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, you have ordained it, you drench its furrows and levels its ridges. Now, know that as we're coming to church, it's belting down with rain, and we're thinking, oh no, the pumps aren't working, and is the church going to flood, and what are we going to do? This is what C.S. Lewis says, that for the people of God, this description is it's a very feel of the weather, a real countryman's eyes, as a vegetable might enjoy it. This is a description that the vegetables love. Because it's saying there's just masses of nutrients and water and it, when they've been dry and parched, and there's just an abundance here. And this is overwhelming provision. It's the idea of sitting down to a meal where you've got so much food that you don't know what to do with it. We saw pictures of Heather and Nick's wedding anniversary meal. Boy, there seemed to be a lot on that table. Is that right, Aris? There was a lot of food there. Too much. But that's the abundance that God gives to creation. And he gives it now, even though the world is still under curse. But just think, for these people who superintend the land, who are farmers, and they've had a drought, and all of a sudden God is now providing them with their livelihood. He's giving them so much stuff that they don't know what to do with it, and it takes their breath away. We do live still under curse. We do. And yet God still abundantly blesses his creation. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. And again, harvest is thanking God for those things that we should never take for granted. And finally, these last verses, I think they are meant to say thank you to God for all his wonderful provision that he gives in creation. We thank him for the provision he gives in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We thank him for the awesome power and the overwhelming power he has. But it throws us forward, doesn't it? Again, we're in a church, we're wearing face masks, everywhere around seems to be going crazy. And we know it's not meant to be like that. And one day, it won't be. Just glance your eyes over those last verses, verses 9 to 13. Just drink in those descriptions. And then some verses from Revelation. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every season. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. We experience the blessing of God now. We experience the forgiveness of sins. We experience God's power over the universe. We experience God sending the rain and the sun to grow things, and he's such an abundant providing God. And we look forward to a time when there will be no more curse, and where there will be no more face masks, and there will be no more coronavirus, and there will be no more disunity, and everyone will bow the knee and say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's be thankful in our hearts on this Harvest Sunday. Let's thank God. Let's be overwhelmed by the forgiveness of sins. And I suppose just a challenge as we finish. I probably think the top three times I was lost for words are probably nothing to do with my relationship with the Lord. And that's probably a problem. We need to pray that we are overwhelmed, that we are lost for words when we think and reflect that we are forgiven sinners, that God is Lord over the universe, and that he is a God who provides and provides and provides more than we need, abundantly, overwhelmingly, tremendously. And we are thankful. Come, Lord Jesus, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words of David. We thank you that these are inspired words that many hundreds, thousands of years later, that we can still use these as a basis for our thanks and our praise. Lord, we thank you for the many provisions that you give us, the many blessings you give us day by day. We thank you for the way that you continue to sustain the earth, that this sustaining is an act of grace. You don't have to do it, knowing our sin, knowing how we've turned our back on you, and yet you do say send the rain on the just and the unjust. Lord, we thank you for your overwhelming rule. You are not simply a local God, a parochial God, a God just for a small group of people. You are the God of everyone that you have created. Your reign is everywhere. Lord, you are a God who is strong and powerful, more strong and powerful than the mountains. You are a God who brings order to chaos. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who chooses people and forgives their sins. The most amazing miracle. Lord, I pray that our vow would be to serve and worship you, to give thanks to you. Lord, by your Spirit, we pray that we would be overwhelmed by your presence and your grace and your love and your power, that there would be no more words to say. Lord, we thank you for this psalm, that it articulates those things that sometimes we cannot put into words. And we pray, Lord, that we would go from here changed people. Amen.